Rules. It's July 9th. The first thing on our agenda is SCR 8, and I will open a public hearing and work session on SCR 8. Jim, do you have anything on this?
I do, yes, Madam Co-Chair. SCR 8 honors Major General Donald N. Anderson, former Oregon National Guard Adjutant General.
Okay. First we have Colonel Caldwell. Would you like to come forward and bring with you other speakers if you would like? Hi.
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Colonel Mike Caldwell, Deputy Director at the Oregon Military Department. And with me today is Brigadier General retired Starl Austin.
And
Major General Bergen.
Good timing.
I put him on the list.
Good timing. He's on the list. Very happy to have you up here.
And today we would request that the committee approve Senate Concurrent Resolution 8 in honor of Major General Donald N. Anderson, who we've named the new building at the end of State Street, the new Emergency Operations and Armed Forces Reserve Center, in his honor, based on what he contributed to this state through his service in both World War II and the Oregon National Guard. And with that, I'll turn it over to my colleagues, who probably will do a much more eloquent job than I can do in explaining the virtues of General Anderson.
Thank you, Mike.
I'll start, Senator Klein, on committee, and I'll let General Austin get a little more detail. But from our perspective, from the military department's perspective, it's an honor. It's part of our heritage and our honor as we look back to people that have served state and nation honorably to make a lasting remembrance and ensure that something appropriate that their name is associated with. And in our state's history, we look at different structures that we built or, in fact, different conference room or classrooms, and we try to honor that individual's history and the service that they gave to Oregon. In this case, this one is very fitting with General Anderson. Obviously, he's an Oregon resident as well as educated in Oregon. Joined the National Guard, was not drafted, but in fact joined the National Guard, but prior to World War II, and ultimately gave exceptional service, meritorious and valorous service during World War II with the 41st Division as they went into the New Guinea campaign. Obviously, after that, he was an adjutant general. I'm going to let General Austin talk a little later about his unique tie to this particular building. But we look back, and we couldn't find, specifically with putting our efforts together here as a emergency response capability, we couldn't think of a more appropriate building, as you'll see here in a few moments, for General Anderson's name to be associated with. And again, as we look around the state, we always take this opportunity because I believe if we lose our heritage, we lose our history, and we look back to those that made it possible for all of us to be in this room, let alone to serve our state, either in the Guard or in the legislature. It's an educational process for our young people coming up also. So with that, I'll turn it over to General Austin, and he can be a little. He served with General Anderson.
Before General Austin starts, just for the record, I need to have you state your name.
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Major General Alexander Hamilton Bergen. I'm the Adjutant General for the State of Oregon.
Thank you very much.
Senator Carno, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Starl Austin. I'm a Brigadier General of Oregon Air National Guard, retired. And it was I who originally suggested this building be named for General Anderson because I worked for him. I worked for 5 adjutants general in the time that I worked at the military department. There was 27 years I was there. General Anderson is the only one of those, is one of 2 of those 5 who has not been honored in this way. The other one was one who died in disgrace and probably will never be honored this way. But the reason I think this building is particularly appropriate to be named for General Anderson is that if you remember back to the 1962 Columbus Day storm, we really had a problem on our hands. There was nobody in the state that was really prepared to deal with that emergency. We had state police with a good radio net. We had forestry with a good radio net. We had highway with a good radio net. Civil defense was in the basement of this building, the other half of this building, with a fairly good radio net. And they could do their business around the state, but they couldn't talk to each other. They didn't know, so nobody knew what was going on. I spent the night of the Columbus Day storm in Governor Hatfield's kitchen as the liaison with a man in a Jeep running around from one place to the other to pick up the information and bring it back to me so I could log it for him. After that was over, there was some serious thinking done. Started with Governor Hatfield, but the military department was tasked to fix it, do something better. And over the next 2 years, most of the time of which General Anderson was the adjutant general, we developed a governor's emergency command center in the basement of this building in room 50. And we put the telephones and the radios, all of the agencies that had radio equipment, put a terminal in the civil defense radio room. And we had, for the first time in the state, a centralized emergency command center to take care of things. Like the Columbus Day storm. We didn't know that as a two years later, actually, that we would have the Christmas Day floods, which really were statewide. The Columbus Day storm was pretty much confined to the west of the mountains, to the valley, but the Columbus Day storm hit everybody in the state. The floods hit everybody in the state. And we had practiced. We knew what we were doing. All the state agencies gathered together. Highway, state engineer, the state forester, even the welfare people who had stored food and could help us if we needed that. The guard, of course, the state police were very much in the lead in this respect. General Anderson was the chief of staff. He ran the command center. And we dealt with the problems, and we fixed them. We had shifts. So we got to, it was a 24-hour operation for about 10 days, and I was in the basement in the shift one evening. I believe it was on Christmas Eve, but I'm not sure. I had a telephone call from a newspaper reporter in Philadelphia. Wondering, how come you guys in Oregon haven't asked for federal help? They did in California. And I was very pleased to tell him that we were prepared for this kind of a situation, that we were taking care of it in our own. If we need federal help, we'd ask for it, but we never had to. And General Anderson was really a key person in developing this whole concept, getting the state agencies together, practicing in advance, and then managing the command center for the governor during that time period. We used that same knowledge that we gathered at that time later in 1970 when Governor McCall was governor during the Legion Convention. We didn't use the command center, but we all had worked together. We knew one another, and we were able to take care of that situation. So I couldn't think of another building in the state that's more fitting to name for General Anderson, and he is the only adjutant general who deserves to have a building named after him who hasn't had one named after him. So I would strongly recommend that you support this resolution.
Thank you very much. Any comments or questions?
Madam Chair.
Senator Burdick.
So what happened to the other guy?
Alfred, I'll tell you, Alfred E. Hintz was and I knew him quite well. I worked for him. Was a pretty good adjutant general, really, except that he was in a hurry to do things, and when they closed the Navy base at Astoria at some point, he got a hold of some federal equipment, some federal property, and rather than waiting to get it through the proper surplus property channels, he took it and used it and converted it to cash, which he put in a slush fund at Camp Withicum.
Now you know the story.
And incidentally, he died on the platform in the middle of a speech at the Oregon Military Academy graduation ceremony in 1962.
Oh, my.
One step ahead of the federal handcuffs.
What he did could have been done legally if he'd have just had more patience.
I can identify with that, actually. Yes. Thank you.
Do you have a story to tell?
That's what I was going to tell here.
Off the record.
Well, I was interested in your comments about 1964 floods because I lived in Sherman County that time, and Sherman County has three rivers, surrounded by three rivers, and then the road to the south was washed out, and we were isolated in that county.
Our bridge was out.
Yep, everything was out, and we were isolated for many days without anything other than the provisions we all had ourselves, so and no electricity, et cetera, et cetera. So I remember that well. Any other comments?
I might just add one more comment, Madam Chair, if I may. If you haven't been to the new building, we'd really enjoy it if you could come by and look at it, because what we have in the new building is we have Oregon State Police, Emergency Management, ODOT, and also a piece of the Department of Corrections who uses our an armory and a rifle range there, plus our units. The Air National Guard and the Army National Guard, our engineer unit, which is currently deployed, but nevertheless, that's their home base. And so we've combined all of the assets that the state needs in one location, and we literally can open a door and yell at somebody, whereas, wow, you know, we need them in that other room, and we've got it all in one spot. So this is a real change. And LEDs and regional dispatch are also there. So we've really put together the pieces, I think, that are required to make our response even more ready. And we did it at about a third of the cost of what it cost to set it up separately by using the federal government as the big benefactor in this thing. So the state did very, very well financially and also operationally in this.
Good. Glad to hear that, and it's good
Madam
to have
Chairman, I might add one, too. At the dedication ceremony, one of the speakers was the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Manpower and Reserve Affairs. She complimented the state of Oregon because this is the first facility like this that's going to be built probably in all of the states as a part of the Homeland Security business.
Really?
And she said the picture of this building was on her wall in her office, and that's the one she talked about when other states came in and to see what they ought to be doing in the way of Homeland Security.
That would be nice if the Washington Post or one of those would publish that about Oregon instead of some of the negative stuff they do.
Instead of a cartoon.
Yes. Appreciate that very much. I'll have you take care of that if you will. Any further discussion? Thank you, gentlemen, very much. Senator Brown, we're in a work session.
Thank you. I would move SCR 8 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Brown has moved SCR 8 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, it is approved. Senator Courtney will be the carrier. We will... We will now do executive appointments. Senator Brown.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move that we approve the following gubernatorial appointees. Douglas Heinrichs and Frieda Vars to the trustees of the State Library. Margaret Wolf to the Outdoor Youth Program Advisory Board. Marguerite Lamont and Buzz Ortiz to the State Housing Council. And Linda Howery to the State Board of Pharmacy.
We've heard Senator Brown's motion to move the executive appointments so named. Is there any discussion? Any objection? If not, so moved. And do we have Major drafting?
Who wants to carry?
Oh, the carrier of these. Senator Beyer, would you like to do these? You haven't carried executive appointments. Senator Beyer will be the carrier. Now, this is revision number 2.
Oh.
I don't have any. Oh. We don't have any measure drafting?
We have one measure.
Oh, we do. Okay. I didn't see it on the revised edition. Let's go ahead then. Major drafting requests.
Madam Co-Chair, I have an original and distributed a memo to each of the members that describes a request from the Oregon Building Trades Council on workers' compensation claim notices. This would be a reincarnation of House Bill 2881. And we have not put any more detail on the agenda than what you see there, because it's kind of a formality for introduction there at the bottom of the agenda, where it says that we have this authority to do the bill drafting and introduction.
Madam Chair, I would move that we approve the request for drafting an introduction by the Building Trades Council on workers' comp claim notices.
Senator Brown moves that we accept the measure drafting for the Oregon Building Trades Council workers' compensation claim notices. Is that the one that I just signed that Thomas Jefferson had signed?
Thomas Jefferson has his signature on it.
I see. Well, if he approves, I'm sure it's necessary. Senator Beyer, I think I saw your name as well. Do you remember signing it?
I signed it.
For once, he's in decent company.
Is there any objection to the major drafting request? If not, so ordered. We've got measure, House Bill 3631, and we have amendments, but we don't have everyone here who supports the bill. I'd like to move this till tomorrow, the first of tomorrow's agenda, if that's acceptable to the committee. Let's have a discussion on that.
Okie dokie.
What's the alternative? How about September 15th?
Senator Burdick, I always appreciate your constructive comments, but I think that's a little late. We'll move it to tomorrow's agenda. Do we need to do that in a work session?
No. You want it on the agenda? We'll put it on the agenda. We'll issue a revised agenda showing that measure on.
Okay.
1 hour notice.
I'm going to just stand it at at ease for a moment. Senator Beyer, would you go check with one of the opponents of this bill and see if that's all right to wait till tomorrow, since we don't have the votes to move the bill? The first thing on Tuesday's agenda. Any further business to come before the committee? Thank you, committee members. Adjourned.